Christopher O'Reilly here, and I always like it when we collect a really eclectic group of kids and stories for our show. That's definitely what's coming your way on this week's podcast, like the oboist who's been a world champion knife thrower, or the violinist who made her European debut in the home of Franz Liszt, or the young percussionist who humorously seems to relish practicing in odd locations, like the maintenance closet of a hotel or in airport stairwells. So get ready to meet them all. Here's the podcast.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome. We're at Dell Hall at the Long Center for the Performing Arts in Austin, Texas. A big thank you to our hosts, the Long Center, and presenting media sponsor, KMFA Classical 89.5, celebrating its 50th year. We so appreciate you bringing us to the live music capital of the world. Austin is famous for its many, many music venues on 6th Street and beyond, and so it's exciting for us to be able to make our own contribution to the Austin music scene. And our contribution features not only great music, but eclectic personalities and stories as well, like the young oboist on the program who also happens to have a history as a world champion knife thrower. Or the 14-year-old we'll meet who found herself performing in the home of Franz Liszt. Or the 17-year-old violist on stage with me now who discovered that one piece of music can change your life, the one she's about to perform. Please welcome, from Los Angeles, California, Emma Wernig. Emma, please introduce this piece and tell everyone why it's so particularly important to you.
I'm going to be playing Rebecca Clark's Viola Sonata, the first movement. This piece is personally important to me because it was the first sort of real viola piece that I performed, and it was the first piece that I actually felt truly comfortable performing, and the first piece where I received such positive feedback afterwards that I thought, hey, maybe I can actually do this as a career long term.
And the story of the composer is quite compelling, too.
Yes, Rebecca Clark was actually a composer and violist herself. And she submitted this piece to a composition competition. And it tied for first place with another piece, but ultimately lost because it was deemed too good to have been written by a woman.
Wow. Okay, when you're ready, let's take this from the top.
Thank you.
Emma Verney, 17-year-old violist from Los Angeles, performing the opening movement of Rebecca Clark's Sonata for Viola and Piano. Bravo, Emma. The piece just is more attractive every time we go through it together, and just so eloquent the way you play it. And there's a certain amount of emotion, you know, in this piece. And I'm wondering what goes through your head. I mean, we have, you know, the technical demands of the piece are formidable, but you were saying that, you know, kind of keeping emotions in check is a very important part of your performance of this.
Definitely. It's hard not to get carried away with this kind of music. I mean, it's so overwhelming and so beautiful. So it's important to remember to stay in control while also being out of control a little bit.
It's a nice little tightrope act.
Yeah.
You know, and this piece in particular, I mean, I guess you probably started out on violin and then went to viola, and so this was really did you all of a sudden really feel empowered as a violist when you picked up this piece? How did it happen for you?
Definitely. I mean, growing up, I didn't realize that there was any repertoire, let alone any good repertoire for the viola. Mm-hmm. And when I heard this piece, I thought, oh my goodness, there definitely is. And yeah. When my teacher at the time suggested that I play it, I was overjoyed, and yeah. It was a very positive experience for me as a violist.
I mean, Brahms wrote a couple of nice pieces for a viola.
Definitely.
But I'm wondering, when you were working on the piece, could you really feel that Rebecca Clark was a violist? I mean, is it really sort of in the fingers, sort of?
Definitely. There are other composers where you're not sure if they actually play the viola or not. But with Rebecca Clark, you definitely, she knows the instrument and she knows the sonority that speaks best.
Yeah. Emma, you've actually been on this show before as a member of the Incendium Quartet. You were winners of the junior division at the Fischoff Chamber Music Competition a little while back. And you were telling me that your Fischoff experience was a big turning point for you. In what way?
I struggled a lot with performance anxiety, especially in that group where I felt like I wasn't good enough, I couldn't keep up, and I would have terrible bow shaking during all of our performances, actually even during the quarter and semifinal rounds of the competition. It was not up until the final round when our coach, Andrew Cook, pulled us together beforehand and said, take yourselves out of the equation. This isn't about you. It's about each other and the music and making each other proud.
Well, you were extraordinarily composed and serious. Actually, I remember interviewing you guys separately. It was sort of a Charlie Rose version of the show, because you guys were doing all your performances there, and we were just in a room together doing interviews. And my God, you were all cracking each other up the whole time. So it was hard to imagine, you know, any anxiety at all. And you were so poised today, so strong, so empowered, and such a beautiful piece. Thank you so much for bringing it to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. Emma Vernick, 17-year-old violist from Los Angeles, California.
If you're the type of person who likes to really dissect the details of a piece of music, you'll love our new bonus content podcasts. In them, Chris explores musical issues with one young musician on the show. These special segments are available when you subscribe to our podcast at iTunes or at fromthetop.org. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Now, please welcome a young oboist, a hometown boy from right here in Austin. This is 18-year-old Joshua Owens. Josh, welcome. We're going to hear a little bit about your upbringing here in Austin in just a moment, but first introduce the piece you and I will perform together.
I will be playing the second movement of Saint-Saëns' Oboe Sonata.
Thank you. Joshua Owens, 18-year-old oboist from here in Austin, played the second movement of the sonata for oboe and piano by Camille Saint-Saëns. A lot of sunshine in that piece, Josh. I remember reading you talking about that sort of the sunrise aspect of the beginning and end of that movement. Yeah. Just so beautiful and positive and just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Josh, you got into music and wind instruments in a pretty typical way, like in so many fourth grade classrooms in America. You played recorder karate. Actually, as much as we love imagining that, there's no karate chop involved in the process. It's more like you get a different color yarn to tie around your recorder, and then as you progress through the belts. You were really good, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the typical curriculum at my elementary school, and I got through the entire curriculum in a couple of classes.
So each time you would learn a song, you would get your, you know, brown belt and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you learn to play a song at a certain level, you'd get the string to tie around your recorder.
Nice. So how long did it take you to get your black belt?
Oh, two or three classes, I think. So we still had nearly a semester to go. My music teacher actually just kind of put me off into the side room for the rest of the time and said, here's some music, have fun.
Well, there's that, plus I think they were lacking oboists, and that's how you came to this instrument. So obviously a really great affinity for wind instruments. You were also in a real karate studio, too, though, with a sensei who was really into knife throwing. So tell that story.
Well, I, like you said, I was in a karate studio. The sensei was big into that world, that whole knife throwing business. And he held some world records for most perfect scores, highest score, things like that. And he decided to give the chance to all the students to learn how to knife throw from the world champion himself. He built a range out back behind the studio, and a couple of us really liked it, stuck with it. I practiced near every day for a couple of years and started entering competitions, which led up to the world championship, which was held in San Antonio. And the first year I went, entered in the junior division, and came away with first prize.
There you go. And so we've got a target set up over by next to Joanne there. Such a hearty soul, that Joanne. Nice knowing you. Do you make reeds with your Bowie knife that you throw? Or?
Lord, no.
No? But, I mean, is there a commonality between karate? I understand the concentration involved, the intense concentration of karate, and I imagine the same thing with knife throwing. Does that parlay into skills on the oboe?
Yeah, actually, the similarities are quite striking. The practice schedule is very similar in that to get really good at throwing a knife, you have to practice hours a day, every day. And that kind of work ethic is very similar to the kind of practice you need for making music. And actually, in some ways, knife throwing was more intense because it was just one motion over and over again, thousands and thousands of times, and perfecting that one thing. Whereas with an oboe, there's so many things you can do, so many things to practice, pieces to play, such and such. Yeah.
I'm very happy to say we took some video of you nailing the target in your own backyard. It's up at our website. But I was saying it's a little bit disappointing to me watching you throw the knife because I'm imagining knife throwing has got to be, you know, accompanied with a really angry face, right? Very fierce. You look absolutely poised and calm. Very disconcerting. I mean, you know... I mean, you're smiling now, but I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
You are lethal with the knife and the oboe, my friend. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you very
Bravo.
Much.
Bravo. Joshua Owens, 18 years old, from here in Austin, Texas. We've rolled a marimba to center stage for our next performer, the 17-year-old percussionist Gabe Kostaki. Gabe's now going to perform Prism by Keiko Abe. Gabe Kostaki, 17-year-old percussionist, played Prism by Keiko Abe. Gabe is from Denver and currently is studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Gabe, you speak so eloquently about your life as a young percussionist. We're going to call this part of the show Drums, Drummers, and Drumming. Soundtrack from Birdman. I love that movie. So I guess percussionists, to a lot of people, look kind of fidgety, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, you know, as a percussionist, I'm always getting picked on for always, you know, moving my hands around and tapping on things, making a lot of noise. You know, for instance, I was in English class the other day, and we were taking a test, and the teacher told us, hey, you know, when you're done with the test, you can do some homework. So I get out my music when I'm done with the test. I put in my earbuds, you know, and I guess I start tapping. And little do I know, the entire class stopped taking the test and is looking at me. The teacher was not happy.
Not happy, I guess. And because a lot of your practicing is, like, just on a practice pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in an official practice room. You can practice almost anywhere. You've practiced in some weird places, though. What's the sort of weirdest place you've practiced?
Hmm. Practiced in a stairwell, elevator, custodial closet. You know, I'm starting to think I just choose really bad places to practice, because last night I was in the hotel, and I go into the room with the vending machine and the icebox. And, you know, number one, that's a bad idea because they're really loud, right?
Noisy, yeah.
But number two, it's a bad idea because, you know, you got the kid with the broken arm coming in to get ice, and you got like, the 10 college kids coming in to buy the entire vending machine, you know, so.
Oh, gosh.
Not a good idea.
You say that meditation is critical to your playing percussion. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Last year, I had a lot of issues with tendonitis because I was so tense when I played. And it got to the point where I had to wear braces all the way up my arms, and I could not play. And my teachers were always telling me, oh, don't play so hard, loosen up. And my band director even let me take 3 days off of school to go see a Brazilian healer. But over the summer, I was studying with this percussionist, Josh Jones, who I believe has been on the show a few times. Mm-hmm. And he taught me about meditation, and he taught me about acknowledging the tension in your body and how that is like meditation. So when you're meditating, you're not trying to quiet thoughts. You're trying to acknowledge them. And when you're acknowledging tension, through biofeedback, it automatically kind of fixes itself.
Learned well, grasshopper. So centered and so perfectly poised. Just a great, great thing to be able to watch you perform and hear this great piece.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. Gabe Kostaki, 17-year-old percussionist from Denver, Colorado.
Today's show may be halfway over, but your From the Top experience doesn't have to end here. Sign up for our mailing list to keep in touch with all things From the Top. We'll send you all the latest news, plus let you know when we're coming to a town near you. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Dell Hall at the Long Center for the Performing Arts in Austin, Texas. Up next, a great showpiece by Vinyavsky, performed by a violinist who's just 13 years old. Our Austin performance is made possible with support from KMFA Classical 89.5, celebrating 50 years as Austin's independent classical music radio station. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. And here's that violinist Joanne just mentioned. Please welcome from here in Austin, 13-year-old G.E. An. G.E., welcome. Tell everyone the name of this favorite showpiece we're going to play together.
I'll be playing Vinyavsky's Polonaise Brillante in D major, and this piece is well known for a very catchy showpiece, and it's very enjoyable.
Let's do it. Thank you. 13-year-old violinist from here in Austin played the Polonaise No. 1 in D major by Henryk Wieniawski. GE is one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Hot. Really hot. That was wonderful, GE.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Now, I know you just turned 13, so now you're a real teenager. Here's how I know. Yes, an alarm clock symphony. So I take it you have trouble getting up in the morning?
Yeah, very. My dad said it's impossible to fix. The habit just been, like, here forever.
So how do you deal? Literally, do you have, how many alarm clocks do you have?
I have about 7 to 10 alarms in the morning.
Gosh. I guess the bottom line is you really covet your sleep.
Yeah.
You enjoy sleeping. What's the longest time you've clocked asleep?
Well, we went on a vacation in the summer to Korea, but the plane was 28 hours, and I almost slept through the whole thing.
Wow. Amazing. I know you're not staying in bed in the morning because you're hesitant to go to school. You go to a fine arts middle school where you get to do this. What did we just hear?
That was our orchestra at the Lamar Fine Arts Academy.
Wow. So you all get together and arrange these tunes?
Yeah, we play rock music, pop music, and there's all over from a drum set to guitars and cellos, violas, violin.
Nice. I think I probably just heard you improvising a little bit, huh?
Yeah, well, the rhythm was written a little differently, and I improvised the rhythm a little bit.
Rock on. Beautiful. You're going to come back at the end of the show to play something else. We're really looking forward to that.
Thank you.
And that was spectacular, the Wieniawski.
Thank you.
Thank you, GE. GE An, 13-year-old violinist from here in Austin.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Next up is an outstanding 14-year-old pianist from San Jose, California, Sarah Twan. Sarah is going to play Rachmaninoff's Prelude in G-sharp minor, Opus 32, number 12, and she'll follow that immediately with the Presto movement from the Piano Sonata No. 2, Opus 19, by Alexander Scriabin.
Thank you.
Sarah Twan, 14-year-old pianist from San Jose, California. Wonderful performance, Sarah. I feel like you're so emotionally connected to this music, and just the technical, you know, issues are completely ephemeral. I'm really hearing that total inhabiting of the music. It's beautiful, beautiful playing. You've performed in some very cool places already at your young age. Tell everyone where you played on your first trip to Europe when you were, what, 10?
Yes. Yeah. When I was 10, I performed in Franz Liszt's home on his own piano in Germany. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me because I got to see different cultures and how the composers that I play today lived back then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this last summer, I know you performed in lots of different countries at music festivals, and I know you experienced the joys and troubles of playing outdoors in Italy. What was that like?
This was when I participated in the Amalfi Music Coast Festival, and I had a chance to play outdoors in a concert. It was a fun experience, but at the same time, I had to deal with screaming children outside of the concert, also noisy church bells going around, and also bugs. I am terrified of bugs. At one point, I felt something crawling on my leg. It was kind of a ticklish feeling, and I realized, oh, it must be one of the bugs. And I was trying so hard not to scream because I'm very ticklish. And at one point I thought, oh, it's gone. But then I looked down and I saw two bugs on my hand and then the one that was crawling up on my leg in my skirt trying to get out.
Oh, my God. I'm wondering whether you were still as emotionally connected in that performance as you were just now. I'm guessing not. I hate bugs, too. My gosh. You have some pretty strong ideas, Sarah, about how to introduce people to classical music.
I think people should be exposed to a broader range of music and not just the cliche pieces that everyone knows, such as Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata or Mozart's Turkish March. For example, I think Ravel is a very good composer to start with because he incorporates jazz melodies and rhythms into his pieces that are still in a classical style. And I think that would be a really nice place for people who aren't really taught to understand and appreciate classical music to start with.
Ravel is a very strong choice, I think, because you also have the programmatic aspect of a lot of Ravel's music, music inspired by paintings, music inspired by poems, and these are frames of reference that everyone can relate to. And, of course, with your concentrated emotional commitment to the music, you bring a lot of people into classical music. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Beautiful playing.
Sarah Twan, 14 years old, from San Jose, California. Let's go out with another performance by today's young violinist, G.E. An, 13 years old, from here in Austin. G.E., what will you play?
I'll be playing Fritz Kreisler's Perseus Romantique.
A great way to end our show here in the music capital of the world. I want to thank all our young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, GE, we will take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Aaron Nolan and assistance from Matt Dykeman. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Chris Rando and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, a nonprofit composed of financial services organizations working to educate Americans about options for securing protected lifetime income in retirement. More at allianceforlifetimeincome.org. And from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, developing solutions to support strong families and communities to help ensure a brighter future for America's children. More information is available at AECF.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.
And now my complete break piece from this program, special just for people like you who download our podcast. This is Radiance Part 3 by Keith Jarrett.